In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're here with us this morning on this wonderful spring day as we continue to move into the end of the school year and transition with many activities in the life of this church. We would like to particularly welcome those who are visiting with us for the first time or fairly new to this congregation. We hope that you are warmly welcomed by those seated around you. We are down to our last four welcome loaves, so those of you who are bakers out of here, please take note of that, and if you can help us by supplying welcome loaves, we would really appreciate it. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside pew and pass it down the pew so that you may greet one another by name with any information you would like to share, and if you would like to be on our weekly publicist emailing list, our newsletter list, or have contact by your pastors. You are all welcome to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary following worship today, following our congregational meeting today to elect new officers and say thanks for those who have been leading in recent years in the life of this congregation. That will be a very brief meeting immediately following the benediction, and so members, please stay so that we have a quorum for that election. Please do take note of the number of announcements that are in the bulletin this morning, and also take note that on the web calendar you'll find what's coming up in the weeks to come if it's not already shown in the calendar. We are in the process of organizing meals for the Johnson family with the arrival of Ogden, who took a brief trip back to the hospital this week, but they are doing well. If you are not part of our meal ministry and would like to be, let me know, or you can email Tammy Murray as well. Next Saturday morning, our youth are invited to go for dim sum, either to Boston or Providence, with Phil Chan in the lead on that, our local dim sum expert around here. If you are planning to go on that trip, please let us know today, because we're organizing the carpools around that, and that will be leaving here from the church at 10:30 next Saturday. Next Sunday, our youth have an informational meeting for the mission trip, the summer mission trip for grades 9 through 12, entering 9th through graduating 12th. That will be carpooling from the church after worship to Central Congregational Church, and we are looking to have that team commit by June 1st. So information has been sent to our youth. If you need information, haven't gotten it, there's information on the bulletin board in the Hope Room, the mission bulletin board in the Hope Room today. Are there other, also in the coffee hour this morning, we have a special fundraiser for Chisefu, another fundraiser for Chisefu underway. Lee Vanderbond has been growing lemon and clementine starts for plants, and he has plants for sale for $2 a person, or $2 a plant. You can take as many as you want. He has, I think, over 100 this week and next week. I don't think he has all the 100 here today, but he does have those starts in the Hope Room, so please stop by and see if you can take advantage of that and support Chisefu in Zambia, the theological school that we're raising money for in the process, and remember that. Are there other announcements this morning? Let us join then in our responsive call to worship. God, you are our refuge in a time of need. We come, God, with praises on our lips for your power to redeem those who put their trust in you. God, don't let your people be ashamed for long. Be for us a living stone of strength, a solid rock of faith to save us from the hidden snares of life that threaten us. We place our lives into your hands. Let your smile shine upon us. Wrap us in your steadfast love. Let us worship together our gracious and loving God.
Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Please join me in standing as we sing. Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, out from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first breath to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell,
the Apostle Paul writes in the letter of Romans, "Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. In that promise, let us come, confessing our sin, our brokenness, our separation from God, as we share together in a time of prayer, first in silence, then praying together. Let us pray. We pray together. God of life and death, we confess that sometimes we are not alive to the possibilities you offer. In the midst of pain, unfairness, and fear, we are reluctant to hope. We feel despair or blame others, but we do not turn to you for help. Forgive us and show us how to share the new life you offer. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession. How blessed are those, number 184, verse 1, in the hymnal, the large hymnal. God proves God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us claim that new life that is ours in Christ and rejoice. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We've come to that portion of the service where we share our joys and concerns with one another, as any good family does. Are there any joys or concerns anybody would like to share today?
I have a joy, and that is when I was down south, I went to the Hilton Head Presbyterian Church, and they send greetings to you. Their service was at 8:30. Hint, hint. No. Now, the other thing is, I am glad to be back to this church. I have to go home to Pennsylvania to get a good dose of good old southern Pennsylvania, but I sure like coming back to this church. Now, the warning, going south on Route 81, there is a traffic trap or car trap, whatever you want to call it. It's in Roanoke County. Here's Roanoke. Here's the county. Coming into Roanoke County at 70 miles an hour. And I'm not a fast driver. I was driving 75, okay? Going out of Roanoke County, oh, it drops to 60. 70, 60, 70. Guess who got caught?
Life of praise for my mom, Denine, who has arthritis through her body. And that's all.
I'd just like continued prayers for Brianna, my nephew's girlfriend, who had surgery this week for her Chiari malformation and to remove a cyst. She's doing very well. She's having some pain, but her family covets your prayers and is very thankful for all the support they've gotten. So thank you.
I have a joy this morning. About 6 weeks ago, I asked for prayers for my brother, who had been diagnosed with advanced leukemia. He is now cancer-free. So we are very, very thankful for all your prayers.
Today's the last day of my parents' two-week retreat, and it sounds like everything has gone really well, and my mom's health has held up the whole time, so thank you so much for her prayers, for your prayers for her. Also, many of you know that we're heading to Chicago for 6 months, and it looks like we have our housing figured out at that end. If you know of anyone who's looking for housing at this end to rent our house, maybe just for the fall semester, let us know. Thank you.
You don't realize how big this congregation is until somebody has prayers way over here.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter. His medication is no longer working. He had to have a blood transfusion this week and is looking at radium treatments. There's not much left they can do.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Andrew and Malika as they plan their wedding in August. In the middle of long hours of work for Andrew, sometimes you call him. At 1 o'clock, he's still in the office, so it's tough. So they need prayers.
I'd like prayers for Ajab. She is the mother-in-law of my brother Mike, and she's had some health issues this week. They think she probably has lung cancer, and so they're going to operate sometime this week. So prayers for their family.
I have a joy. Last Sunday was Andrew's 12th birthday.
I'd like continuous prayers for my friend Janet. She's been battling lung cancer, and now they found another spot. So by Monday, we'll know what's going on. But continuous prayers for Janet.
I have a joy coming from the PNC. Just wanted to let you all know that our ministry information form was approved by both session and the Committee on Ministry and has gone online on Monday, this past Monday. And in just a little less than a week, we have received 17 applications already, 10 of which are self-referrals, so our name is out there. And we are on the map, and those seeking a call are referring themselves to us. We have a lot of self-referrals. And just wanted to put out there, if any of you know anyone seeking a call or know of friends of friends or any connections you have, please let them know. Our information is online. And if you need information on how to get there, you can come see me during coffee hour. Thanks.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Sarah, who was just recently diagnosed with endometrial cancer and is going to be having surgery pretty soon. And I also have a joy. Yesterday was Bright University's graduation, and the forecast was for lots of rain, but as you know, it's like the sun came out and we had picture-perfect weather. So it was a great day, and it's even better when it doesn't rain. Praise God.
Any others?
Actually, the pastors may be able to add something to this, but you'll notice Rolf's not here. I know he was hospitalized in his home, but he could use our prayers too.
Others from all of you? I'm asking for traveling mercies for my daughter-in-law, Christy, and my granddaughter, Tatum, who are leaving on Monday from Pakistan, Karachi, to come to the United States. They will be here until August. Leaving Monday means about the time you're going to bed, since they're 10 hours ahead.
Just to reiterate what Brooke said about Rolf, Rolf was hospitalized this week and I saw him yesterday, and he's seeking our prayers for swift healing from a respiratory infection that moved into flu and pneumonia on him. So please keep him in your prayers. He's on oxygen right now at home. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, on your people pour your power. You created the worlds and called them good. Out of love, you redeemed your people and sent forth your spirit that new life might come in all times and circumstances. We pray for those places in our world, in our headlines and behind them, where peace and justice are needed, for the people of Nigeria, for new leadership in India, for places where war and tumult too often dominate, and for all those that are caught in the middle. We pray for our community seeking justice and creation of jobs and opportunities for all your people. We ask that you would guide us and hold us accountable as we work for those things as well. You, O God, are a God of healing and hope. In drawing your people together in support, we are encouraged. We thank you for the joys of our lives listed here, for new opportunities and breathing space that new seasons bring, for projects completed, for the joy of family with the arrival of Ogden Johnson, and for the anticipation of new babies, for Julie Baldwin's safe return to us despite speeding difficulties, for good news in the healing of Jim, Cheryl's brother, for Joe's parents as they continue in good health through this time of retreat, and Andrew Bernier's 12th birthday. We pray, O Lord, this day also for those who continue to seek healing and new directions for their lives. Give them strength and hope for the journey. We pray for Rolf. We pray for Peter Holscher in the isolation of a failing body. We pray for Andrew's surgery tomorrow in Boston, for Melinda, for Deneen, for Brianna, for Walter, for Janet, for Asha, for Sarah. Lord, you know the concerns of these hearts and minds and the people who care for them. We know, Lord, that you are ever present in times of need, and your healing power speaks in ways that we can sometimes scarcely understand. We thank you for all those who journey alongside in care to these folks. Make them strong in your spirit as they lift their prayers and offer words and ways of support. We pray for Suzanne and Ebony. We pray for Vivian's travels in grief to Ghana yesterday, and for all who grieve in these days. We give thanks, O God, that you are a God who is ever present in the circumstances of life, and we continue to pray for the Fishers' transition to Chicago, for rental here for their house, and thanks for the opportunity that they have to live there and experience that time. We pray for your strength for Andrew and Malika as they prepare for their wedding August 23rd in the midst of busy lives and schedules. We thank you for the sun that shone yesterday on so many things that were happening yesterday, for the Bryant graduation, for the Elijah concert. We pray for safe traveling mercies for Christy and Tina as they travel from Pakistan in this time apart from their father through the summer. We give thanks, O God, for the opportunities that we have to show forth your kingdom in support of Chisefu and the election this day of new leaders to serve in this church. Guide them and all your people of this presbytery in leadership by your Spirit. We thank you for the work of our PNC, which is getting very busy, and we pray that you would guide us to the pastoral leadership that you would have for this congregation in years to come. We thank you for those who served so many ways this week at Camp Street, in nominating committee, in auditors, in the ways in which you lead us to teach your children, and in so many activities here and around our community. Guide us, O God, each new day, that we might know your gifts, that we might experience the provision of each day, our daily bread, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children. When I say church, what do you think of?
God.
You think of God? That's good. Ben?
Right here.
Right here, yeah. And if we look around, have you really ever looked at this sanctuary?
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm looking at it right now.
We have that beautiful hanging up there, don't we? That hand-woven hanging behind the cross. Beautiful cross up there. Yeah. And look at all the windows. Big, beautiful windows, and sometimes bright sun comes there. Yes, there is. That's right. That's because that's a Christian flag, so there's a cross on that. And then we have candles, and the candles are supposed to remind us of the Spirit of Christ, and God is here with us. Yeah, you see those every week. Have you ever looked up at the ceiling? Isn't that a pretty ceiling? Yeah, I like that ceiling. And we have to have lights so we can see what we're doing in here, right? Yep, that's right. All these things are necessary. It's a very, very nice church. We have, can you see the organ pipes up there? Yeah, see the organ pipes? Yeah, all these are things that make... Yes, there's a lot of instruments. You have the piano. Today there's violins around and all kinds of things and... You can't see the organ up there, but there is an organ up there. Yes.
And a ukulele up
what?
There.
Yes, it's true. It would be.
And there's a
little tub
where it carries the water for the
baby. Yes. This is the baptismal font here. That's where we baptize babies. Yes. There's just so much in here, isn't there, Ben? Oh, yeah, there's a guitar there under the bench today. And there, and over here, we have the guitar, drums, have that drum there. Gee, there's a lot in here. And then we have this table over here. You know what that table's called?
No.
It's called the communion table. Yeah, it's called a communion table. Yes, and these are all called pews. And then we have just chairs. Yep, there's so much stuff, isn't there? This is all church. This is all the church. That's a building, the church. But there's a lot more to the church than just the building. How many of you, what else is there? Elena? Love, yes. And in order to have love, we have to have what?
People,
yes. We have to have people. Yes, there's Sunday school. There's the basement downstairs. There's the family room up here. There's the couches room. There's so many things, but the important thing is all of the people.
Can you all do this? Can you put your fingers like this? Okay, just weave them in inside like that, okay? I'm going to have to turn around because then we're going to put our thumbs together on the other side. Josie's ahead of me. She knows what I'm going to do. And then you put up your two forefingers together like that, okay? So there's the church, and up here, this part, is the steeple, right? Okay, now move your thumbs apart, open the doors, and there are all the people. Okay? All the people are what makes the church happen. The church is the people inside. It's not the steeple, it's not the doors, it's not the furniture, it's the people. And the one thing that's important for everybody that's a part of the church is one person that we all believe in all the time. Jesus, that's right.
And God.
They're all the same thing. Jesus and God are all the same. And as long as we have Jesus, Jesus is what we call the foundation of the church. Yeah, that's what the whole church is built on, is on Jesus. And so we have the building, but that's just not really the church. The church is all of the people who believe in Jesus, okay? So let's say a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for being our foundation, the thing that makes us solid, and we can be the church together, all your people. Thank you, God, for your church. Amen. Come on. You can go to your classes now.
The senior highs are excused to be with Beatrice here, and maybe you can meet at the back area here. You'll go first, upstairs for senior highs.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please prepare our hearts to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that by hearing we may obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60, found on page 118 in your pew Bible and page 153 in the large print Bible. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord.
This is an old favorite, which we have sung several times, and the congregation has sung along with us. So please feel free to sing along if you can. Oh, Nyan Ko Pong, oh, Nyan Ko Pong, Amen Yi Na Be Yi Wa Ye, Amen Yi Na Be Da.
Down in the middle of a story and we have no idea what happened beforehand. We're not really sure what happens afterwards. And that's exactly the case we have when we read this story from Acts. We don't even know who they're talking about. And yet if we had been read the whole thing, you would all be snoozing by now because it's a very long story. It goes back to the early church. And one of the responsibilities the early church felt very strongly was one of those Old Testament mandates. You're supposed to take care of the widows, the orphans, and the strangers in your gates. Well, the people of the early church felt like the widows were not getting properly fed and not getting enough attention. So they went to the leaders of the church and they said, well, we've got to take better care of our widows. And they decided to create a group of seven people that they called, believe it or not, deacons. And those of you who are deacons today or have been deacons, you're doing exactly what they were told to do back then. Serve the people. Care for the people. So that the disciples could spread the word, could teach the word. One of these seven people was named Stephen. And that's who the reading was about today, Stephen. Stephen, one of the deacons,
was filled with the Holy Spirit, did amazing things, spoke eloquently. Unfortunately, there were those people who did not particularly agree with Stephen. And when they could not win any arguments against Stephen, they decided to create a little unrest, stirred up the crowd against Stephen, and actually recruited some people to go to the authorities and say he was guilty of blaspheming God, the law, and Moses. And so upon these false charges, they arrested him, brought him in for questioning. And Stephen had the unfortunate situation of appearing as an angel to them. I guess they didn't like this angelic appearance. But he told them the story of how God had been active in the people's lives from the time of the Moses leading the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. How God had been active in their lives and how they had turned against God and worshiped their own idols or their own gods. Stephen, not being one to mince words, accused those leaders of being just like those stiff-necked Israelites who disregarded God and disregarded the laws and went their own way. Well, they weren't too happy to hear this. Nobody likes to be criticized, right? So anyway, they were not too happy to hear this, but he was still going to be okay. But that's where today's reading kicks in, and he looks up to heaven and says that he sees Jesus on the right hand of God. Oh, that lit the fuse. Because when he said he saw Jesus on the right hand of God, what he was basically saying was that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. And he has the same power as God. He's there with God. That was the ultimate insult, blasphemy, whatever they wanted to call it. They didn't even take the time to call it anything. They were so riled up, the mob mentality took over, and they stoned him. And yet, Stephen is so secure in his Lord Jesus that even as they are stoning him to death, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And he died. Echoes the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But Jesus was that rock, that foundation for Stephen. And the amazing thing in this story is they thought they killed him and that was the worst thing that could happen. But really, the people who were dead were the people who had stoned him, who covered their ears rather than listening to the Word of God, because the Word of God was something they didn't want to hear. It represented something different. It represented looking at their world differently. It represented taking this man who had been crucified on a cross and raising him to an elevated position. And so I've studied this text this week, and all I can think about are stones. Maybe it's because there were so many stones in my yard, and there's all these weeds and grass growing up around them I got to get rid of. Or maybe it's because I always love to drive around here and see those stone fences that as farmers were clearing the fields in order to plant crops, they had to take all those stones out of their way and build walls. Or maybe it's because I remember the slave fences in Kentucky where I grew up. Those walls that were actually built by great masons from Ireland and Scotland. Stones. They can be wonderful, wonderful assets. But they can also kill. And so I've been thinking about these people who, rather than listening to the word of God interpreted in a new way, closed up their ears and stoned the man who would dare them to think differently. And I think about our church, all of those people, and how within our church even, we throw stones. My mother used to say, "Oh, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you." How wrong she was. Words that belittle what somebody has accomplished, that they're so proud of, and somebody minimizes it with the flick of a simple little word. Oh, you could have done it better. You could have done it differently. Or the little sarcastic comments that we think, oh, they're humorous, but they hurt. The way we laugh at somebody's foibles, and they might even laugh with us, but inside they're crying because it hurts. Words hurt. Our attitudes hurt. When we're not going to be, or we're not willing to be open to the new possibilities. Oh no, that'll never work. Shoot down that idea. Oh no, you've got it all wrong. It couldn't possibly happen. In our denomination, in all denominations, there's arguing constantly about which is the correct orthodox interpretation of Scripture. This is the right way. This is what it really means. And I want to say, how do you know? Are you God? Our interpretations of Scripture through the centuries have changed. Otherwise, we would still have slavery, wouldn't we? Pastor Chris and I would not be ordained ministers because people before us have constantly been open to the Holy Spirit, bringing the word alive to us in new ways. Our understanding of it has changed. Why did God give us brains if we're not supposed to be open to new understanding, to new interpretations, even to new translations? As I pointed out time and time again, this one little word that we read this way can mean so many different things. Hebrew is this beautiful language full of all kinds of connotations for the words. There's not one appropriate word that matches the English word. And any of you who speak other languages know the same thing is true of all languages. And so we take Scripture and we like to have our hands on it and say, well, this is what it means. But we have to be open to the possibilities. Is it rigid black and white on the page, in our minds,
But what about with God? Does God want us to open our hearts to new possibilities? Churches are leaving our denomination because of the advocacy for the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. People don't believe they should be ordained. Well, we've gotten through that hurdle, haven't we? And now we ordain them. The next argument is whether pastors have the right to perform a marriage of same-gender couples. Is Scripture so rigid we can't open our hearts and our minds to new possibilities? I don't think I'm ever right. All I know is I can open my heart to God. All I know is that I can look to the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, and look at the way he lived and what he taught. And I never remember seeing him condemn anyone for their actions. A woman caught in adultery is brought before him. She is kneeling there. They're ready to stone her to death. That's the appropriate punishment. And he says, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone." And her accusers melt away. And Jesus does not accuse her either. Jesus. The foundation of our church is what holds us together. When we read 1 Peter, it's telling us, "I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner." Jesus himself was rejected, and look what happened. He became the cornerstone of the church. So what do we rest secure on in our faith? We rest secure on the cornerstone, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And as long as we rest securely on that cornerstone, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we can disagree. We're not ever all going to agree. But we have to find what is our common identity and rest secure in that and allow for the fact that Scripture can be understood differently from generation to generation. And it's not heresy to think that, but that it's being open to God and the power of the Holy Spirit to see what God is saying in the midst of us, in the here and the now, while we continue to proclaim Jesus is Lord. And nothing will shake that. And we will always continue to be the church, no matter how differently we might view things. Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join with me in our affirmation of faith from the Westminster Confession of Faith. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all believers being vitally united to Christ, who is the head, are thus united one to another in the church, which is his body. He calls and anoints ministers for their holy office, qualifies all other officers in the church for special work, and imparts various gifts and graces to its members. He gives efficacy to the word and the ordinance of the gospel. By him, the church will be preserved, increased, purified, and at last made perfectly holy in the presence of God. Now is the time when we come together to offer our offerings and tithes to the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you so much for all of the gifts that you have given to us. We pray that you bless these gifts and bless all of our spirits as we go out and share your love with the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
I remind you that we are having a congregational meeting after the postlude to elect our officers. The Hope Room is open for you that are not members if you would like to go back there and begin having coffee and the refreshments that are laid out for you in there. And now, go into the world remembering that we serve a risen Christ, a Christ who loves us each one, and a God who calls us each by name. And now may the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let the people say, Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you.
will go ahead and call the meeting immediately. And the postlude will close our meeting. I'll give everybody a moment to get to where they'd like to get coffee.
And if you are a visitor with us and would like to see what happens in these things, you may stay.
We need a quorum of 26. So, and Lori can certify the quorum.
I believe we do have a quorum. We do. Okay. It's been certified that we have a quorum. Let us open with prayer. Oh God, our Creator, you call us in various ways to serve you. We gather today to recognize those people who have answered your call to elect new officers as we recognize the gifts of specific people. Open us to your presence, and may what we do here truly be understood as our service and our offering to you. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I will call upon Jenny Surgener, who is the chair of the Congregational Nominating Committee, to present the slate of officers.
Sorry, just give me a minute. I want to make sure I have the right list. It's been a long, busy week of conversations of trying to invite people to hear God's call. And we have, first up, we have our, do you want me to start with deacons?
Elders.
Elders, okay. So we have three available slots as elders. And we have Lori. What? Lori Gerard, and Ryan Broderick, who have accepted the call, and we were unable to find a third person, but we will try and find a third person for the next congregational meeting in January. So that's who's up.
Okay, the nominating committee has presented two names: Ryan Broderick and Lori Gerard. If those two people are here, if you would please stand so the congregation will know who you are. Okay, Ryan is not here today. Lori is right over here. The congregation may make nominations from the floor as well. Are there any nominations from the floor for the third position as elder? Hearing none, the slate stands. It needs no second. Coming from committee, all of those in favor of the slate presented say yes. Opposed?
Up for deacons, we have Shirley Jones, Milton Liu, Christian O'Fay, continuing his term as deacon, and then Sabina Asante. Oh, and Sabina's term is a 2-year term, replacing Nancy Ramsey.
Okay, so you have standing before you the people who have been nominated by the nominating committee. Are there any from the floor? Seeing none, all of those in favor of those nominated say yes. Opposed? Those people are nominated. Thank you all.
Me to move on to the
auditors. Do you have any?
We don't have any auditors. No.
Make note of that.
Yep. So we also are looking for two more auditors to serve, and are still searching for candidates for that position. Yep. Moving on to the nominating committee, we have three nominations for next year's nominating committee: Alice Cooper, Ed Fitzpatrick, and Gladys Oye.
Are there any nominations from the floor for any of those people for nominating committee from the congregation?
Gladys is here. You want to stand?
Yeah. Alice is not here. She's teaching downstairs, and Ed is not here. Any nominations from the floor? Okay, all of those in favor say yes. Opposed? Okay. Thank you all that have agreed to serve. This is a discernment process. Other people have recognized that you have gifts. That's why people have been asked to serve in various capacities. And it is a sense of call, and people have prayerfully considered and have felt other demands upon their lives at this particular time. So we will continue to be looking for those three positions that we still need to fill. People who are outgoing officers this year, we'd like to thank Ed Fitzpatrick and Letitia and Mark for possession, who are going off this year. Letitia was here. Oh yeah, there you are. Letitia's still here. And Mark is over here. Thank you all. The deacons who are going off are Esther, Dorothea, and Nancy Ramsey. And Dorothy's there. Nancy's here. And then the auditors, Sean Patton, we're sorry you're leaving us, you're moving, but we're also celebrating for you and your wife that you are having a joyous new life ahead of you. And also Rolf, who is not here, he is at home sick, recovering. And those have been our auditors for this year. And so we thank them as well. Please remember, thank you, all these people. All of you people who are outgoing, you're not done yet, however. Please remember that you are continuing to serve until the installation of new officers. So please don't quit on your jobs quite yet. We still need you. Okay, is there anything else that I need to bring up at this time? Julie. It will be in June, but we don't have a specific date set yet. Training of new officers is May 31st. We would like to thank our nominating committee, Jenny, who's been the chair, Sharon Gibson, Gladys Brown, Kathy Cooper, and Sanford Lee, who have worked very hard to bring this slate to you, and we thank you all. Let us close with prayer. We thank you, God, for your faithful servants who serve us in so many various capacities. It is not always easy, and we do thank you that they have been willing to give so much of their time, their talent, their very hearts to love and to serve their Lord. We ask your blessing upon those who have been serving so faithfully that they will continue in your grace and love. May those that are new to the